Lord, you guys got me crying already. I haven't even, like, said anything. Because all these tributes to the mothers and all the honor that we're giving is touching. And I am so thankful and grateful and humbled to be part of the Rehoboth family, to be here with wonderful women who I look up to. I look up to like every woman here. I'm grateful that I get to be under your experience as I raise my own child. So thank you so much. Sister Brownie asked me to speak today, and I was like, me? I think I'm the mother in here with the least amount of experience. I'm bare as 5 months. And there are many other mothers in here that I think are more qualified to get up here and speak and to edify and to share the word. I don't really got a lot. But one thing I just wanted to share with you, and it keeps coming up, so I feel like it's a confirmation of speaking life, speaking life, speaking life. And I guess that was a theme at Ladies Retreat. So I just want to encourage you today and speak life into you and encourage you to speak life into your families and your husbands and your kids, into your coworkers, into your friends, into human beings. Just speak life. Hopefully my tears are going to dry up here. Okay, so 2 years ago, probably 2 years ago, when we started coming here, and at that time I was like, no way, God, there's no way I'm not having kids. Mm-mm, never, ever. And the Lord started to work on me, and he's like, let's talk about this. Let's find out what's going on in your heart that you're so like, no. And he revealed to me a lot of things, and he started to deal with me and heal me and show me that I had problems. And I started to release things to him and surrender, and he started to just warm me, and it's like a scar that, like, just, you don't even know when it went away. You're like, I had a scar there, and now it's not there anymore. I don't even know when it went away. It just, he's so gracious, and he's so kind, and he just compels you and draws you in, and all of a sudden you're like, how do we get here? Time flies when you're having fun or when you're spending time with the Lord. And so I was like, all right, God, if you want us to have kids, then so be it. I'm submitted to you, but you better be with me every single step of the way. And then God was like, well, that's not a problem, because in my word I said I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I was just thinking about it. Mother's Day this year, I announced that I was pregnant to all of you. So when I was pregnant and everything, I would pray and like, Lord, what if the kid does this? Or what if they say no? What if they talk back? You know, what if this happens? And God's like, we're going to deal with that when the time comes. But until then, speak life is your MO. That's all you do. You continue to speak life, and you speak life, and you speak life, and you speak life. And when it gets hard, you speak life. And when it gets old, you speak life. And you just continue to speak life. And then, you know, as I've been under awesome teaching under Pastor Brownie, under Minister Chris, under Sister Brownie, under lots of people here, awesome teaching, God just revealed to me that, you know, our words, there's power in our words, and life comes out in our words, because this word is life. Like, it's almost the same thing. And when you look through the Gospels and you see Jesus and the words that he speaks, he speaks life. That's what he does. And he's like, just for parenting, all you got to do, Melissa, is to do what I did. When you see Jesus interacting in the Gospels, speaking life here. I mean, actually, like, saying, rise up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. I mean, go and sin no more. He is speaking life into that person. He's like, that's all you got to do. You just speak life. So I just want to open that up a little bit to us today, and just exhort us on the power of our words and how we can speak life. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This is God speaking to the Israelites. And he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Now also turn to Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. Or we'll go with 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So he was giving the Israelites then the choice. He said, you got a choice. Death, life, blessing, cursing. And he's exhorting them, choose life. And then it says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, what did he just tell them in Deuteronomy? To choose life. Last thing I want to read from the word is John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So now we know what to do. Now we know what to speak. There's power in our words. We need to choose life with our words. And what is that life that we actually speak? The words that he spoke. That's what it says. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So just take his words and speak it. I was listening to a series by Andrew Womack. I think a lot of you know his ministry. And he was talking about the power of faith-filled words. He was talking about in Genesis chapter 1, we've got nothing, right? We've got God's spirit hovering over the face of the waters. And that's it. We have nothing else. And just by saying, God just says, let there be light. And bang, light. He just spoke it. That's all he did. He just spoke that life into existence. And then he goes on with all the other things, the sun and the moon, the stars, the firmament, everything. And everything that he just says happens. That's a model, that like going back to the law of first reference and like the found, that's how much power is in our words. Like we can create things. And later on in Jesus says, you can move mountains. You can say, hey, mountain, move. You could say that and just expect it because God modeled for us how to speak life in Genesis when he said, let there be life, and it was just light, and it was there, it was created. And I started to think about that and meditate on it, and I'm so glad, Pastor, that you've taught us the concept of meditation. I think we all kind of knew, like, okay, yeah, we dwell on the word, but when you've, like, really opened that up to us, I'm like, okay, I get it now. I'm starting to meditate on the word and be intentional and active about it. And as I was meditating on this idea of faith-filled words and declaring speaking life, calling things that are not as though they are, I started to, like, okay, I'm going to start experimenting. And I started to pray for coworkers, not just pray, but say, you are healed in Jesus' name. You are healed. There's not a different opinion. There's not... is not a different word on that. It's settled. You're healed. And I started to do that in my own life and with my husband. And then I was like, you know what? Can we get kind of almost carnal with this? Like, can I, like, use this in any situation? And I had some curtains that I wanted to order. And this is going somewhere, but there was some curtain. Vera's dedication was last week, and I wanted to have some curtains up in my house. Well, I ordered them too late, and it said that the shipping, that when they would arrive at my house the day after the dedication. I was like, well, I really want these curtains for the dedication, so my house looks nice. You know what? I don't receive this. UPS, U.S. Mail, whoever you are, I don't receive this shipping date. I don't receive this, and I command you to come on Friday the 22nd, not on Monday the 25th. And I got like the email confirmation, like they've shipped and the tracking and everything. And every time I saw it, I said, "You will come on Friday the 22nd. You will come on Friday the 22nd. You will come on Friday the 22nd." Guess when they came? They came on Thursday, the 21st. I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." And it was a big deal because if I was going to rush the shipping, I was going to have to pay $40 extra to rush the shipping. So I got them 2 days earlier than the shipping would have gotten me there, and I didn't pay anything. And I said, "Lord, there is seriously power in our words. I'm not kidding. And James, the book of James, chapter 3, confirms this, how our words are powerful, and talks about how the tongue is like a tiny piece of like a big ship, it's the rudder. Thank you. It's the rudder, and it steers the ship. And such a tiny a piece or organ can steer a whole ship. And that's what our words. And so it confirms that there is power in our words, and that when you speak life, it's gonna be powerful life. But when you speak death, it's gonna be power. It's gonna be detrimental. So I want to just talk about two different situations that we use our words and we speak life, reactive and proactive. And how, and this is just all stuff that God's been sharing with me, things when I'm like, "Lord, what if Vera, talks back? What do I do?" So there would be a reactive situation where I need to react to her. And then, a proactive situation, like, everything's good, everything's fine. What should I be doing, God? What should I be doing? Just let her be there, or should I be doing something? I don't know. And so that would be like a proactive situation. So God started to just open up my mind and my heart, my understanding of his word. And he said, there's two situations, reactive and proactive, and you can speak life in each, and you're going to be okay, Melissa. So calm down. So in a reactive situation, a scripture that the Lord really illuminated for me was Psalms 34, verse 3. I hope I have it. Can you bring that up, Josh? Psalms 34, verse 3. I think I have the right reference. Yes. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." So when situations arrive, like a reactive situation where Vera would talk back to me and I'd be like, she just talked back to me. Whatever the situation where I need to react to her, I should not be magnifying the problem. I should be magnifying the Lord. I should not be saying, "What is your problem? What is wrong with you?" I should not be coming on giving glory to the problem, giving glory to the situation that is negative, whatever the work that the enemy is trying to the rebellion or the whatever. Whatever she's, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So whatever is like bound up in her heart, says in Proverbs, the folly or foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Whatever that is, I should not be magnifying that. I should be magnifying him and making him bigger than the problem. God started to talk to me. He's like, the Lord just opened up my understanding, but I used to be like a control freak. I used to be so type A and perfectionist and you move that. You moved that and you're going to have to move it back. I was so just not flexible, and I was, the Lord really helped me let go of things and just help me relax and be peaceful. I used to be very I don't want to say anxiety, but I just control. I wanted to control everything. And God said, when problems arise, you always use negative language, Melissa. You say, "What is your problem? What is wrong with you?" You emphasize those negative words. And when I deal with you, Melissa, the Lord speaking to me, when I deal with you, do I ever say that? Do I ever come to you and say, "What is your problem, Melissa? What is wrong with you?" He's no, I never come to you that way. I come to you saying, "You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation." He calls out the good in me. He calls things that are not as though they are. And so he said, "Don't ask Vera what her problem is. I'm telling you what the problem is. She's got a sin nature, and it's sin. And by the way, you have a sin nature, and you've been dealing with sin too. So don't give glory to that sin or the work of the enemy. Or in any of those situations, just magnify me, make me bigger in those reactive situations. He actually, God almost gave me verbiage almost exactly what to say when Vera, and this can be in any situation, any reactive situation where you need to speak life, like I said, coworkers, spouses, mother, daughter, any kind of situation, a stranger on the street, you can speak life and you can say exactly like this: this behavior may be sinful, but while you are a sinner, Christ died for you so that you could be free from the law of sin and death, so that you could live in the law of the spirit of life, so that you could be a co-heir with Christ. He calls you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Even though your behavior is not acting like it, I am calling what is not as though it were. You are better than this behavior, and God has great things in store for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future, a hope, and just speak the gospel. That's what God has encouraged me to do with all my relationships, especially on this scary journey of being a mom. Another thing God told me about reactive situations is when other people speak death over your children, when they say negative things or whatever, you counter that. You counter that right away and said, no, my child or my grandchild or whatever is a child of the King. My kid is beloved. My kid is a co-heir with Christ. Don't speak that death over my kid. Be your kid's advocate. Be anyone's advocate. Like I said, your coworkers. I keep going back to my coworkers. Your friends, your mother, whoever. Don't let death be spoken over another person. Counter that with words of life. With this word of life right here. Just open up almost any scripture. It's going to be speaking life. So I'm sure speaking life, Vera has not done anything really that I need to react to yet. She's such a good baby. We are so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. And so I'm sure in the situation, it's a little harder said than done to speak that life, harness your, or to suppress your flesh and to speak life. I'm sure it's a little hard in those situations. And so God said to me, so while you're not dealing with these contentious conflict situations where you need to discipline her or whatever, right now you need to be practicing proactively speaking life into her, speaking life into your husband, speaking life at your household, that everywhere you go, your whole conversation, however that verse goes in, I think, Timothy, and your whole conversation would just be life, life-giving. And so I started when I was pregnant, like, okay, I need to find scriptures that speak life. And I started to like every day almost, I was reading Psalms 139, where it talks about, I knit you and you together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That whole passage, I would speak that over Vera when she's in my womb. And then also I'd take Romans chapter 12, where it lists all the behaviors, where it says, weep with those who weep and laugh with those who laugh and love people and be humble, and it goes on and on. And I prayed that over Vera. And I said, Vera, you will be. You will be. This is what I expect from you. This behavior right here, Romans chapter 12. I expect that you will not be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. All right? And I just started to speak that into her, and I still do. And then when she was born, and then we had to go to the doctor, and I feel like they're always looking for problems. They're looking for a problem, like, oh, is this, look, and I'm like, actually, she's really healthy. You want to, like, look at the healthy part of it? And it's like, kind of like, still, like, looking for problems. And it kind of made me nervous, like, what if Vera, what if she's sick, what if she, what if something's wrong, something like that. And God was like, Melissa, you need to calm down. You need to speak life. And so he started to encourage me and to actually say that and say, Vera, I speak life into you. Life and life more abundantly. The enemy will not steal, kill, or destroy in your body. You will be healthy. I speak life into our digestive system, into our respiratory system, into our circulatory system, into our nervous system, her muscular system. I mean, into her heart, her eyes, her ears, her nose, her spleen, her liver. I speak life and life more abundantly. You will be healthy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we have the authority and power, the dominion to command that. And we have access, like I think last year when I spoke about the fruits of the Spirit, God just revealed to me that we have access that we are not taking a hold of. We have access to the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Take access to that. We have access to life. Take access to that. And then, like Sister Brownie spoke about what your inheritance is, God has given us inheritance, and we need to be forwarding that on. And forward that on to our children, our families, the next generation. And so forward on the life and say, I speak life into you. I speak life into your situations. I speak life into your brain, whatever is wrong or needs correcting. Or I speak life. Because life, Jesus has the words of life, and he is the word. And the word fixes everything. And I think this is really, really powerful. You, Pastor, I don't know how many times, you probably 50, maybe 100 times, you've told us about how your mother just turned around in the middle of driving somewhere and said, you are blessed and you will be blessed. That was life. She was speaking life into you, and you have never forgotten that. And that has impacted you. You brought it up like a million times. And that is powerful. We need to be communicating that life to our children. One other thing I wanted to say about our words and the power of it. Mr. Chris brought this up one time when he was speaking about our words, that there was an experiment done in Japan about how they spoke to frozen water, and then they froze it, right? And then the water that good words were spoken to, it had beautiful crystals, and it was just gorgeous, and the water that had mean and horrible words spoke to it. It looked poor. It looked decrepit and strange. There's also a book, or many books actually, that have come out over the years about the power of positive thinking, the power of positive words, and everything. And do you know why all this works? Do you know? And it works. The power of positive thinking and words. You know why it works? It's because God thought of it first. He's the one who set this law of reaping and sowing into motion. He's the one who spoke life first and then created good things. This is why this works. That's why the people can take these kind of carnal situations and see good results, because God was the author of that first. I want to encourage you with one other thing, that the Lord has done so many wonderful things. And now that I'm older and like mother, he's just shown me things that I didn't understand before. And it's a quick little testimony about how speaking life into your kid now can result in just really unmanageable blessings and testimonies later on. And that's all I have to share with you, is that just speak life. That is all the Lord has really put on my heart to share with you. But when I was about eight, my dad, my family was a new, we didn't grow up in Pentecost or the church. My parents were, you know, Catholic, and they went to church, and they were good people. My dad got the Holy Ghost the day after I was born. He started to pursue God, and he started to, you know, change everything. He dumped out all the liquor in his house, and just started to pursue God and grow in the knowledge. He was a baby Christian, and I'm one, I'm two, I'm 3 years old, or whatever it is. And he was listening to some kind of Christian radio station about praying for your kids' spouses, and he was like, well, my daughter, she's like six or seven or eight or however old, and they said, no, you need to start speaking that and praying for that now. And so I was about 8 when he was like, okay, and he felt God kind of leading him. He's like, okay, I'll stop praying for my kids' spouses. And so I have a brother and a sister, and he started praying for our spouses and that they would be men and women of God and that they would have renewed minds and that they would, that God would keep them and blah, blah, blah. And so right around then, when I was 12, my dad has told me, right around the time I was 12, God spoke to him and he said, well, you're going to pray for their spouses, but you're not going to pray for the spouses' families? And he's like, okay, I'll start praying for the spouses' families then. All right, fine. And so he does. He starts to pray for the spouses' families that they would also be grounded in the Word. They would be strong Christians. They, you know, support you know, the marriage of their son and me and whatever. And he didn't really know what he was praying for. So like I said, I was about 12. Well, you fast forward, all right? And I'm 21, and I meet Josh. I think that's how old I was. And we start to, you know, talk about, you know, his family didn't grow up in the Word in Pentecost either. And right around the time Josh was 12, Josh and I are 10 months apart, right around the time he was 11 or 12, the time that God had encouraged my dad to start praying for his spouse wife, that's when his family came to Elim Tabernacle, got a Bible study with Pastor Rogers, and started to come and started to grow and started to know the Lord, and the family was redeemed and wonderful things. Wonderful things, blessings, love, goodness, the Lord. I mean, he's just so many, too many good things. He's too good to us. And then I meet Josh, and then we get married, and then we come to Rehoboth, and then we have Vera. If I'm not, you know, I there could have been different circumstances, but I'm betting that if my dad had not spoke life into my life, and he had told me when I was young that he was praying for our spouses, and I was like, what's a spouse? And you know, he had told me, I was like, okay, Dad, whatever. And it didn't mean anything to me then, but he spoke life, and I think that changed the course of a whole other family. That changed that. Josh and I might not be here today. I might not be here with you. And then I might not be under this wonderful teaching and with wonderful women to encourage me if my dad had not spoken life. So I just want to encourage you to speak life. Speak life and life more abundantly. And it's not hard. It's a very practical application. You just read this right here. You just read this and you speak this over your kids. You speak this over your husbands or your wives or your grandparents or your coworkers or your friends or whatever. You just speak this word of life over them. Literally, you can just take, copy, and paste it into your words. And so I just want to encourage you to speak life. That's all the Lord has. That's the only, like, parenting advice he's given me that I can offer. And it's not even mine. It's the Lord. So thank you, and thank you, Jesus.